They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Ah ha 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 ha!
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Maybe I'm just cynical, but every time I fill up the gas tank now, I see this image, an oil tycoon smoking a cigar and laughing. Apparently, Congress is pretty skeptical, too. Today, executives from the nation's six largest oil companies go before a Senate committee. They'll be asked to explain whether mergers have anything to do with their gushing profits. Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports.
Last year, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Texaco, ConocoPhillips, BP, Shell, and Valero took in $112 billion. Today's hearing asks whether those record profits have anything to do with the industry's recent wave of consolidation. Public Citizen's Tyson Slocum says 10 years ago, the top five oil companies controlled 35% of the market. Today, they control more than half. That trend, says Slocum, leaves consumers holding the short end of the stick.
You're seeing a large amount of concentration, and when you have that kind of concentration, you increase the ability of just a handful of companies to set prices rather than the marketplace setting those prices.
Last week, Republican Senator Arlen Specter unveiled a proposal that would make it harder for oil companies to merge. Specter has called the federal track record for approving mergers excessive. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Mergers can certainly be profitable for the people who run the companies involved. Take the bank deal we told you about yesterday, Capital One buying New York-based North Fork. The Wall Street Journal says the top three executives at North Fork will get close to $300 million in tax payments. The bank's CEO calls it an egregious amount of money, but he says it's not like I flew in here on a private jet 3 years ago. He's been working at North Fork since 1971. Google seems to have no fear about taking on the government. Today, the search engine does battle with the Justice Department at a hearing in California. Stacey Vanek Smith tells us the question at hand.
Can the government seize our searches? As part of its effort to thwart child pornography, the Justice Department wants search engine companies to hand over a random sample of internet searches so it can look for incriminating patterns. Google says that would violate consumers' privacy rights. High-tech analyst Tim Beharin says this isn't a clear-cut case. There's not much of a legal precedent. But he says no matter the outcome in court, Google's position is a winner.
It tests the courts on this. But more importantly, it shows them the champion of individual privacy. And I think that's a win-win whether you're a consumer or a business user.
By comparison, America Online, Microsoft, and Yahoo have all agreed to hand over their search information to the feds. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Airline travel certainly isn't what it used to be. Pretty soon, we're going to start paying to use the restroom. Beginning today, Northwest says you can pay $15 extra to sit in roomier coach choice seats. That's code for exit row. It's true, exit row seats have about 10 to 15 inches of extra legroom, but is it worth a dollar an inch? I'll leave it up to you. Not sure why Wall Street even came to work Monday. All that trading and the numbers barely moved. The Dow dropped a third of a point. The Nasdaq gained a whopping 5 to 2267. The S&P 500 climbed 2. Oil prices are back up a bit today. They're around $62. This is Marketplace. In Washington today, an event to celebrate the success of the nation's drug courts and to elbow the folks in Congress who slashed their funding last year. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Drug court is presented as an alternative to prisons packed with addicts. Judge Karen Freeman Wilson is CEO of the National Association of Drug Court Professionals. She says this is not the equivalent to getting soft on crime.
It's absolutely not a hug-a-thug program.
It focuses on treating addiction, and participants submit to 3 drug tests per week. The cost per individual runs from under $2,000 up to $12,000 annually. Compare that, Wilson says, to the $30,000 price tag for a year in prison.
It's an effort to really save tax dollars in the long run by making an investment in treatment so that we won't have to continue to invest in jail over and over again.
Last year, funding for drug courts was cut from $40 million down to $10 million. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By Warner Home Video, presenting Good Night and Good Luck, a film that looks at our freedoms under attack. Starring George Clooney and David Strathairn. On DVD March 14th. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. A few days ago, scientists discovered a new species of animal in the Pacific. It looks like, well, a hairy lobster. Ugh. Okay, but that's not why I'm telling you about it. Researchers named it Kiwa hirsuta and blew a golden chance to make some money, says commentator Natasha Loader.
Now, you might think that Kiwi hirsuta isn't such a bad name. The Polynesians had a goddess of crustacea called Kiwa, and the hirsuta part of the name was given to this new marine monster because it's very shaggy indeed. But I think its naming was a missed opportunity. Last year, some other scientists had the right idea when they auctioned off the name of a new Bolivian monkey. It became Calasibus auripilati, or the Golden Palace Monkey. The online casino GoldenPalace.com paid $650,000 to name it. Bolivian conservationists enjoyed the rewards. What a great idea. Let's face it, the monkey was none the wiser. These days, taxonomists spend a lot of time complaining about how underfunded their work is. But they should think of it not as a problem, but as an unplundered resource. Which airline wouldn't want to have its own bird or butterfly? What savings and loan company wouldn't want its own bee? Selling animal names could unleash lots of money for taxonomy and conservation as corporations came to realise the benefits of sponsorship. Just think what Shell might do for the dark corners of molluscan taxonomy, or the construction firm Caterpillar might do for moths. Of course, this leaves the problem of who will sponsor unloved animals such as leeches, worms and dung beetles. The nematodes are a vast group of tiny worms that are ubiquitous and virtually unknown outside the laboratory. Are their executives at Wrigley brave enough to make the leap? Now, some might think that such nasty commercialization of science is a bad idea. But it's worth remembering that taxonomists have long named their discoveries after each other, their families, and looked to the wider world for inspiration. Last year, two former Cornell University entomologists named a slime mold beetle Agathidium bushi after President George Bush. Sting has his own tree frog, and Harrison Ford even has a spider. Taxonomists have also been quietly amusing themselves with animal names throughout history. So we have beetles called Colom rectum and Etu brutus, a salamander called Oedipus complex, and even a snail called Bar humbugi. Would the world really be such a bad place if this new Pacific crustacean with hairy legs had enticed a women's beauty product company to sponsor it as Kiwi Epiladii? I don't think so.
Natasha Loader covers science for The Economist and comes to us by special arrangement with that magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The eternal quest for balance.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.